Hi, guys. Welcome back. Thanks for joining me. I'm Lindsay. This is my podcast. This series is going to be on self-hatred. I know it's a very taboo term, right? But let me tell you, it's a little more common than we might think, and it's quite easy to overcome. So I think we should talk about it, right? Absolutely. All right, here we go. Welcome to the show. Share with your friends, please. I remember when God started to talk to me about self-hatred. He was talking to me about my own self-hatred. He was helping me get to the root problem of a lot of the issues that I had in life. It was very kind of him, and I didn't take it with shame. I was actually super glad to realize, like, oh, this is my issue? Oh, there's a simple solution? Wow, okay, thanks, God. And then years later, he started to share with me how he wanted me to talk about it in my writings, in my speaking. And I said to him, God, nobody wants to talk about self-hatred, because anytime I would talk about it online or just in person to someone, like, I would literally get a blank stare. And I thought, Lord, nobody wants to talk about this. Like, you've given me a subject that, like, nobody wants to talk about. And God kindly said to me, nobody wanted to talk about shame either, Lindsay, until Brene Brown did. And I thought, touche, God, touche. So as we do, right, as Christians, we follow God, even if it doesn't make a ton of sense. But I'll tell you what's interesting is in this season of, like, self-development, you know, as Christians, I haven't been hearing from a ton of you. There haven't been as many downloads, and that's okay, because I'm going to always do what God said. But it was funny, because last episode we talked about love that covers self-hatred, and it's been getting a lot of downloads. And I thought, huh, this must be something people might want to talk about now. So today we're going to talk about the 7 signs that you may deal with self-hatred, okay? I know self-hatred feels like an intense word. There's probably shame that comes with it. A lot of people resist it. Like, they're like, no, that's not my problem. But then it actually does end up being their problem. And God is kind, and he helps them realize it in a very sweet way. And then they get freedom from it. So a lot of times that can be the enemy not wanting you to get freedom. Like, if you have, like, a visceral reaction when I talk about self-hatred, it's possibly the enemy not wanting you to get free. So I would just ask God, like, God, do I struggle with self-hatred? You know, see what he says. Okay, so here we go. I want to go through the 7 signs that you may struggle with self-hatred. Remember, most people kind of do. So it's really actually common. And I just feel like there's a lot of shame around it, but shame is often from the enemy to keep us stuck. And we want to be free, because that's what Jesus died for. So here we go. Let's go. Number 1, negative self-talk. Constantly engaging in harsh self-criticism. # the inner critic. Calling yourself derogatory names and focusing on your flaws and mistakes. Now, remember, you don't do this, like, out loud. Like, you don't berate yourself out loud, okay? You do it internally. And if you've had this negative inner critical voice for a long time in your life, it may seem very, very normal to you, right? That's why we did an expose on the inner critic in the podcast a while back, because, and I'll tag a couple of those actually in the show notes. So in case you want to go back and listen, there were a couple really powerful ones that really exposed the inner critic for a lot of people. So I will go back and tag those, but basically you have to stop and listen to what's going on in your mind. Because if you just keep busy and ignore it, like, there's probably, like, self-hating, like, narratives in your thoughts that you're not even picking up on, because you've lived with them for so long. So, okay, that's number 1. Number 2, low self-esteem. Having a poor self-image, feeling unworthy, and doubting your abilities and value as a person. I mean, pretty much a lot of people struggle with it. I mean, I'm laughing because I think that we want to think we don't struggle with this stuff. You know what I mean? Because we somehow think like Jesus is mad at us if we struggle with this stuff, you know? But I would say quite the opposite. You know, just like in scripture where it says, when something is hidden, it has power, but when it's exposed, it loses its power. It's very similar with emotional and mental issues. Like when you don't realize it's operating in you, like you're functioning in this like dysfunctional way and it's kind of like messing things up in your life, but like you are unaware of the problem. And look, I mean, none of us are perfect, and Jesus has so much grace on us. And I mean, without Jesus, we'd all be like wrecked up. But like, you know, so it's not like you have to go fix yourself. You don't. But being aware of it, Jesus can really take that and just do miraculous things with it. So I say that because it's quite nuanced. Remember, the solution to self-hatred is very simple. But we have to be aware that we have the issue so that we receive the simple solution. Does that make sense? Okay, awesome. All right, number three, perfectionism. Setting impossibly high standards for yourself and feeling intense disappointment or self-loathing when you fall short of these standards. I never thought I was a perfectionist. I've always been a pretty high creative, kind of messy, you know, person. Like, I always thought perfectionism was like, my house has to be perfect, or my car has to be perfect, or whatever. My hair has to be perfect. My makeup has to be perfect. And I was not really that person. I mean, I was always kind of like, you know, things were kind of all over the place. Like, I mean, I'd like to look pretty, but my hair would sometimes be like all over the place. I've had multiple, friends who are stylists who have literally said to me, Lindsay, I just want to gift you like getting your hair done, because they're looking at me like, what is wrong with her hair? It's like a disaster. I think it's kind of funny. Anyway, gotta laugh at yourself, right? So I wouldn't have thought I was a perfectionist until I realized, oh, maybe I am, because I set very high standards for myself and I really kind of beat myself up when I didn't, when I fell short of those. So perfectionism doesn't have to look like it on the outside. It can be more like an internal perfectionism where you're like, I have to do everything perfect to like God's standards, or I'm a bad Christian. And what God said to me one time is, Lindsay, like, you're not perfect. He's like, and if you were, you wouldn't need me. So like, stop trying to be perfect. That doesn't mean he doesn't want us to grow and transform and develop and heal. Of course he does. But like, if we're like kind of like, you know, beating ourselves up because we make a little mistake, like that's not healthy. Okay. Number four, self-sabotage. We've heard a lot about this in recent years, haven't we? Engaging in behaviors that undermine your personal success and well-being, such as procrastination or avoiding opportunities for growth. Yo, have you ever really heard that definition for it? I think it's kind of fascinating. Engaging in behaviors that undermine your personal success and well-being, such as procrastination or avoiding opportunities for growth. That avoiding opportunities for growth thing is like hashtag real talk, you know? Like, wow. It's just like, you know, I always thought, like, I can't believe I'm still healing. I can't believe I'm still broken. And God said to me, Linz, you're already healed, but you're always going to grow and develop. And I thought that was such a nice change of perspective. You know, it's like, instead of being like, I'm so broken always, like striving to be not broken anymore, he's basically like, no, I healed you, but you're always going to grow and develop. And I thought, wow, you know, it kind of cleared some things up for me. Cause I think I was a little confused. So, okay. Number five, isolation, withdrawing from social activities and relationships because you believe you're unworthy of love and connection. Wow. Okay. I have a little caveat to this one. So for me, I did not withdraw from social activities or relationships. I actually used activities and relationships to like try to get love But the problem was, is I still felt unworthy of it. And I was not connected to myself. Therefore, I couldn't truly connect with other people in a deep, deep way. Now, I could because I'm an extrovert. I'm very gregarious. Is that the word? I'm very gregarious. Like, you know, I enjoy people. So, like, I'm an encourager. So, you know, people sometimes like to be around, you know, people that encourage them. So, like, I had a bazillion friends. I wasn't isolating, but almost like internally I was isolating, right? Because I was unconnected to myself. I was disconnected from myself. I didn't really know who I was. Like, I didn't really understand myself. I rejected myself because I believed lies about myself. And so there was such a disconnect inside that I truly couldn't connect with others. So sometimes you can look like you're a very outgoing, loving person, but really you're pretty much like disconnected inside, which keeps you pretty disconnected from people. And then true love actually can't happen out of disconnection. So it's interesting. So interesting. I totally get into this in my Letting Love In course, which is coming out soon. So anyway, I'll tell you more about that later, but it's good stuff. Okay, number six, blaming yourself. Attributing blame to yourself for everything that goes wrong, even when it's not your fault, and feeling responsible for the problems of others. Holy bananas. I would call this kind of codependency because that's how it played out in my life. But when you blame yourself for everything, even when it's not your fault, man, I had that problem for a good 40 some years of my life, and had to run into a pretty large brick wall in order to kind of change. So that wasn't fun, but hey, don't worry. I have got some stories and some ways of helping you overcome that without having to hit the brick walls. So cheerios for that, right? Feeling responsible for the problems of others. Oh man. So painful. So painful when I read this, you guys, because I'm like, check, 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 check. I mean, seriously, had pretty much every single one of these. It was insane. Anyway, but God, he's so cool. Yeah, so it's not healthy. Just FYI. If you have that, just know that God wants to heal it. Okay. Number seven, self-harming behaviors. In extreme cases, engaging in self-destructive actions such as cutting or other forms of self-harm as a way to cope with emotional pain. Dang. Woo. Yeah, that's a big one. So for me personally, because, you know, I like to be very honest and vulnerable with you guys, I never had any cutting issues, but I had other ways of self-harm that I didn't even know until God showed me. But I had more of like an eating disorder where I just wouldn't eat. I don't know. I just wouldn't eat. And God showed me, like, Lindsay, like, you don't eat as a way of like self-harm and self-punishment. And I just remember this season where he's like, I don't care, Lindsay. Like, if you walk to Whole Foods every day, I lived across the street from Whole Foods, and just like get, like, eat anything, you know, like he was like not concerned, like, eat organic food. Like, he was not concerned about that. You know, he was like, I don't care what you eat, just eat, you know? And so there was, I didn't really know, like, God's very kind a lot of times, always actually, to not necessarily just point out what's wrong. The enemy will point out what's wrong. That's why you got to learn to discern the voices, but God won't, he won't always point out exactly what's wrong. He'll kind of lead you in ways that you don't really realize what the problem is, but he knows what the problem is. So he'll help you kind of overcome that. And then when it's time, he'll show you what you've been doing. Like, once you kind of have, like, gotten to, you know, you've kind of listened to him and you've done what he's saying to do. And again, not in this like weird, like, obedience way that sometimes can be slightly damaging. Anyway, but another talk for another day. But, you know, more in like a kind fatherly way, right? Like, he's leading you to do certain things and you kind of know, but you don't really know. But then at a certain point, he will show you why. And it's usually some kind of like what I would call an ouchie, you know? And he kind of revealed that to me before I went to Bethel to ministry school. And I remember when I was in first year ministry school, you know, we'd have like hours of worship a day. Like, it was crazy. And if you love worship, it was amazing. If you didn't, it was a little bit of an obedience thing. Speaking of obedience, I'm not saying obedience isn't of God. Of course it is. But sometimes we can basically like beat ourselves into obedience, which is kind of strange. Anyway, nuance. So when I was in ministry school, God would say to me, Lindsay, I want you to go out and get like a chicken croissant sandwich, which is not quote unquote healthy. And he's like, and sit here and worship and eat it. Because to me, that is worship. Because he knew what I needed. He knew what my problem was. He knew, you know, that that was what Lindsay needed. Now, someone else, he might have told them to do something else. You know, obviously, that's why it's important to learn to hear his voice. Because you got to listen to what he's telling you to do, right? Like, the Bible is his word, and we know that's the foundation. Like, he's not going to tell you to do anything that's not scripturally backed up, but it doesn't end with the Bible, you know. Like, his still small voice is very powerful and available to us. And so, you know, it's very important to learn to discern the voices in our head. You know, I call them voices. I know some people get weird about it, but like, you know, the thoughts in our head, to actually like allow ourselves to even see what's going on in our head, you know, and not be scared of it. Fear is obviously a liar. But we want to, yeah, we want to like discern the voices in our head. And then we want to zoom in on the voice of God and then know it's a loving voice because God is love. And then follow that voice because that voice is going to untangle things for us. We think it's going to tell us like, you know, all these, I don't know, sometimes like what's going to happen in the future, like da, 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 da. And I'm not saying he can't do that, but the way I teach hearing God's voice is about a loving relationship with your Father. Like that's really where it starts, right? Because God said to me, Lindsay, I want my kids back. You know, that was kind of his quote unquote mandate to me. Like, I want my kids back. That was his desire. That was his heart's cry. And that's what started me on this whole long journey of letting love in. And so I am coming out with a new program soon. And it's quite powerful. I have beta tested this on several people over the past 2 years. They all get incredible results. So I'll be talking more about that soon on here. I'll let you know how to, you know, jump into that if you want. It's not all done yet. It's actually a lot of work. But I'm excited about it because I see it get people like insane breakthrough, and I love breakthrough. I love freedom. So I'm excited for what God is doing, and I want to give you guys all an opportunity to step into that if that's what you need, if that's what he leads you to do, because he always leads us to what we need next, and that might be for you, might not be. No problem there. I wanted to kind of talk about self-hatred on the podcast, possibly for a whole season, actually. What do you guys think of that? I'd love to hear your feedback. So, just if you listen to this on Apple, you can leave a review. That'd be cool. That'd be awesome, actually. That'd be helpful because it helps more people like see the content that might need it. So it's actually, it's a benefit to, you're helping me and you're helping others. So there you go. That's cool. But also like, write your comments there. Like, yeah, Linz, we'd like to hear more about self-hatred, or yeah, Linz, I like this series, or do like a whole thing on that, you know, do like a whole season on that. Like, let me know what you want to hear. Cause I was just a little fascinated when I saw like, okay, I haven't been getting a ton of downloads on these other ones, but then this one I talk about self-hatred, I've been getting a lot. So I was like, wow, maybe there's some interest here. You know, and I always want to follow that, and hashtag God told me to talk about this a while ago, and I think I've always kind of struggled on how, but that's okay. He's very kind to help us. So that's all we have for today. I'm going to pray for us, and I will see you guys next time. Well, I won't see you. It'd be fun if I could see you, but we can talk. Okay. Holy Spirit, thank you for, yeah, just leading all of us. Thank you, Jesus, for honestly just dying on the cross and giving us access to the Father. So special to be in relationship with you, the Trinity. As Graham Cook says, three plus me. We're already in community with you, and that's the most important. And then, yes, all the overflow to others and ourselves is powerful. But, Lord, I pray for everyone listening to this, Lord, that they would see what it is you want them to see after listening to this, Lord. If you want to show them that maybe they struggle with some of this, God, I know this stuff likes to hide in our soul, and we often don't see what's kind of in our way. And so, God, I just pray that you'd open our eyes, Lord, and show us what's in our way towards the next step in our life, the next chapter, the next season, God. What's in our way? Show us what's in our way, God. And let it be from your spirit, not by our own figuring out or soul searching or, you know, like navel gazing. But like, would you show us, Holy Spirit? Would you like light it up? Light it up, God. Show us what it is that's in our way, what's holding us back, God, so that we can, with you, like, just solve the problem and move on, Lord. It doesn't need to be this, like, dramatic, like, heavy, long thing like I thought it had to be and kind of was in my life. But it doesn't have to be that way for others, Lord. And so thank you for walking me through so that I can help others. And yeah, thank you for helping all of us, because we're all on a journey, always growing and developing, God. So I bless my friends, and I thank you for everything you're doing, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys. Thanks so much for listening. Love you so much. Would love for you to check out the show notes. It's got all the latest and greatest when it comes to what we're doing over here. So check it out, and we will talk to you next time. Love, much love, always so much love.